of his word. I'd like us to think just briefly and devotionally tonight at verse 126. God's time to work. Well, it's a mystery in the Christian life. Sometimes we wonder why God works in particular times and places, in particular lives, in particular churches at different times. It's a mystery. We don't know. This is a spiritual work that God does. It cannot be ordered. You can't press a button. This is a mysterious work that God does in hearts, in churches, and in nations. You look back through history, and there have been times of very great revival. We look back in our own church, and there have been times in this church where dozens of people have professed Christ and come into membership, and many have been baptized. I'm sure we can say in our own life, there were particular times when God was at work. But why isn't it every day? Why isn't it whenever we want it to be? Because this is a sovereign work. God determines the times and the places when he will work. Sometimes when we think God is at work, he's not. It's man. It's made up. And sometimes when we think there's nothing going on and it seems like we're talking to a brick wall, God is at work. God is moving the heart. And there's somebody who is coming under awakening and conviction of sin, and we know nothing about it. Maybe there's somebody who hears the word of God and they go home and think about it, but the devil snatches it away. But the Lord is at work. So we come to a verse like this, Psalm 119, this longest of psalms, and the psalmist says, "It is time for thee, Lord, to work." This isn't being belligerent. He's not being demanding. This is a servant of God saying, "Lord, surely, surely, the time is so difficult, there's such conspicuous wickedness. Now surely," he's using it as a reason. We might call it an argument, but that suggests he's arguing. No, he's seeking to persuade the Lord God. "Surely, Lord, the times we live in," oh, he bewails. Why is it that we don't feel, we don't see the Lord at work? And so he comes with arguments. There's many reasons we pray. We pray because it's commanded. We pray because we've been blessed before. We pray because there's no one else to turn to. And we pray because we're given examples like this, just in this one verse. "It is time for thee, Lord. Surely it is time to work." This is David giving an argument to the Lord God. This is the reason why he believes and he is contending with God. "Surely now is the time. Now is the time, because if the Lord does work, it will be so obvious, because it's a dark time. And only the Lord can do this. It's a unique work which he must do." So why is this the time in the argument given and the argument that we can use even tonight? Well, the reason is very clear. "For they have made void," they've trampled, they've broken, they've taken no notice of God's word and of God. David says, they've made void. They've made it ineffective. It's as though there is no word of God in the land. It's as though God doesn't exist. There are no laws. There's no directions. There's no counsel. There's no word of God. And because of that, surely, Lord, this is the time. Well, let's think of our own day an age. This is true of the age that we live in today. We can ask this prayer tonight. Surely, Lord, tonight. Surely, Lord, you must come and work, because there is a hatred of God's word. People, there was a Finnish MP, quoted a verse from the Bible. She was threatened with being sacked as a politician. She's just been re-elected. But people hate the word of God. It used to have authority. If you read the Bible, people would stop and they would listen. But now they've made void the law. Many chains of hotels used to have a little Gideon Bible in the bedside cabinet or in hospitals. Now, no, no chance. It's been woked out. So they disregard God's word. They disregard God's laws. They make up new ones all the time, or there's no laws. They redefine the law and the principles of marriage and family. Isn't that a sad thing? Surely, Lord, it's time for God to work. You think of the indoctrination of the rising generation, the challenges that our teenagers have to deal with at school, the threats, the difficulties they have to deal with, because there's now no right and no wrong. Who's for you to say that's wrong? No, you don't tell a child they're wrong, because there is no right, there is no wrong. The psalmist says, I love thy commandments, verse 127. They are above gold in preciousness, in price, in rarity, in uniqueness. And now we have corruption in high places, where even those in government don't know what's right and don't know what's wrong. Nation after nation, there are politicians being taken out because they no longer respect the laws of God. We're told now, instead of male and female, there are 73 genders. Can you get your head around that? Redefining even the basic building blocks of life. Perhaps there's worse to come in the Western world. There are countries more, as they call it, progressive, but we would say regressive, than even our country. In the next decade, maybe it will get worse. Isaac Watts has this hymn, Lord, when iniquities abound and blasphemy grows bold, when faith is hardly to be found and love is waxing cold, this is based on Psalm 12, is not thy chariot hastening on? Hast thou not given this sign? May we not trust and live upon a promise so divine? Yes, says the Lord, I will arise and make oppressors flee. I shall appear to their surprise and set my servants free. Now is the time to pray. I don't say we can't do anything else, because that's not true. We can do so much else. But now is the time we must pray, when evil times wax worse and worse. 2 Timothy chapter 3 speaks about in the last times, perilous times will come. We shall look at that briefly Sunday morning. But aren't these perilous times, when there are no longer rights or wrongs, no foundations, no law? In the law of the jungle, there is only the survival of the fittest. Oh, what a tragedy that is. Well, let's turn tonight and let's take David's argument. It is time, surely, Lord, for the honour and for the glory of God. Would he see his honour depleted further? Would he see his church eroded? Would he see his law dismissed? Surely not, Lord. Surely this is the time, in the darkest hour of the night, when the Lord would come and work. What does it mean to work? It means when people can see that God is God, and that his word is the first and the final authority in life, and that the only hope for men and women and boys and girls is to know God's law, the law of the Lord which is perfect, converting the soul. So we come tonight to pray. We ask for the Lord to work in our life first. For could this be said of us, that any of us have made void God's law? We've undermined it. We've not obeyed it. We've not loved what God loves. He loves his church. He gave himself for it. Do we love the church? Do we love his word? Do we love each other? Surely it must start first in our hearts. The problem of the church is not outside the church. It is the church. And the church, that's us. And so we must ask ourselves first, have we made void, empty, obsolete, undermined, minimized, reduced the law of God? And then we can pray, it is time, surely, for the Lord to work. May we see the Lord working as we believe he is in all our different ministries. I think even this year we've had specific encouragements because we've prayed, because the Lord is gracious. He doesn't deal with us according to our sins. But won't we desire for more blessing and for the Lord to work more abundantly.